Have you ever noticed how most of the scripture stories we tell are all about men? Finding those feminine role models within the scriptures is not easy. Today I've invited my friend Amber Corkin to share with us all about her new book, Dear Divine Daughter, Inspiring Stories of Bible Women. She and her twin sister Aubrey scoured the Bible for stories of women. They found so many they had to narrow it down to the best 34 inspirational stories they found. Who knew there were so many stories about women? In today's episode, Amber shares her amazing journey of this inspired book. Nearly 4 years in the making, several rejections from publishers, and finally a break that has now placed her book on the shelves of some very prominent retail stores. Hi, I'm Leslie.
And I'm Lindsay.
And you are about to experience a new way to have family scripture study.
Get ready, because this is where we say no to fancy, time-intensive lessons, no to trying to cover all the material, and no to stressing over what to talk about each day.
And instead, we're going to say yes to simple but powerful family scripture study, yes to family discussions, and yes to change to help our family become more like Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the My Teaching Matters podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the My Teaching Matters podcast. I'm Leslie Johnson, and I'm here today with a special guest, Amber Corkin.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, Amber, we are so excited to have you here. We had Amber on our show maybe about almost a year ago now, I believe. Amber and her sister Aubrey have been working on an amazing book. This book is called Dear Divine Daughter, and it just recently came out. I've had my copy for about a month now, but Amber's telling me that the official launch date, has only been for about a week. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Our Kickstarter backers got theirs about a month ago, and I think it popped up on Amazon a few weeks ago, but officially it's been a week.
That is so exciting.
Yeah, it has been exciting.
So Amber, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then tell us a little bit about what this book is.
Yeah, of course. So I am a mother, a stay-at-home mom to three kids. I've got a five-year-old boy and then two girls ages 3 and 1. So they keep me busy.
You're a busy mom.
Exactly. And my husband and I live in St. George, Utah. And I started this whole project when my oldest daughter was only 2 weeks old.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So it's been quite a journey, almost 4 years, which is hard to believe. But I just one day was sitting there rocking her in our rocking chair, looking down at her. And I was just overcome with this strong feeling like I was holding something divine. And that feeling stuck with me. And then later that day, I was reading the scriptures, and I came across this story that I love the story, but it has a male protagonist. And like, I remember feeling like, wow, I need stories of women that I can share with my little girl. Like, she's going to grow up and need stories of women. And so, I was like, wow, I guess I will make a book. Like, I'll collect these stories. There's just got to be like a few really good ones and put them into a book that she can read. So I called up my twin sister, Aubrey, and she had her own newborn daughter at the time. And I told her my idea, and she was super excited and was like, yes, like, I also want to give that to my daughters. So we started researching, and we were shocked how many women we discovered that we like either had never heard of before or at least couldn't remember. And we ended up narrowing the scope of our project just to Bible women, and then we narrowed it further down to our favorite 34 stories.
So okay, so stop right there. So what this book is a compilation of 34 different women from the Bible that are showing what? I mean, that is amazing. But so what is it? What are these women? I mean, obviously that you want them to be role models for your daughters as you're talking to them. So tell us a little bit about that, how you picked the favorite 34 and how that happened.
Yeah, thank you for stopping me from getting ahead of myself. I'm just excited about it, obviously.
Yeah.
We love the stories of these women, and we thought, what a nice way to be able to have our daughters relate to the stories by picking a characteristic that each woman exemplifies. So we assigned each Bible woman a Christ-like characteristic, or a divine characteristic, as we call it. And so I'll give you an example. Ruth is loyal. Michael is selfless. Miriam is confident, right? So we assigned this characteristic, and then we provide the story that we wrote in, like, kind of fairy tale once upon a time story format to make it fun and interesting. And then at the bottom, we provide a prompt that ties in the characteristic with the story and asks the reader how she can develop that divine characteristic. So not only are we telling the stories, but we're trying to have these girls see how they can be like the women.
So I really, really love that, because we talk a lot in our podcast about this idea of personalizing. Mm-hmm. And we talk about how stories can be an experience that people can actually learn from and change paradigms from and change from. And particularly when you have a story that you can relate to yourself. So when you say, okay, here's a story about being faithful, how can you choose to be faithful? I just think that there's so much power there, because it's taking that, what is just could be just a story in and of itself, but taking it to the next level and saying, okay, what does that mean to you? How can you be like this woman? I really, really love that.
Yeah, I know. You have talked about stories before. In fact, I'm currently in your, what's it called? The Children Who Know?
Challenge. Our challenge, yeah.
Yeah, and you and Lindsay talk about the power of stories with children. Like, children love stories, and they're memorable. And so I think you're totally right. Like, stories are powerful because they stay with us, and we can inject ourselves into them.
So let me ask you this, because I have read a lot of your stories. I haven't read them all, but I have read a lot of them, and I am so impressed with your story development. You take these obscure stories and you really put them in a great story format. I mean, I've studied a little bit about how to make a good story, right? And I'm like, man, she has taken these and really done a great job at making, there's a protagonist, there's, you know, you get excited about what's going to happen. You take these complicated stories. When you read them in the Bible, they are not nearly as clear as when you put them in your book. So how did you do that? Do you have like training in writing stories, or is it just a gift you have, or what?
Oh my goodness, you're so nice. I do not have any training, but I guess when we were writing these stories, we really tried to take the scripture jargon out of it, like the stuff that kids don't understand and that they get stuck on. And what I at least remember myself, like the part that made scriptures less engaging. But the stories are like phenomenal. And so we tried to write it like it would be a fairy tale, like it would just be some engaging story. And we tried to keep them very scripturally accurate, but just simplified. And I think that helps it become more relatable.
Well, it did for me, and I'm not even a kid, but I sure thought those stories were more memorable than when I tried to read them straight from the scripture. So you were successful on that approach.
I'm glad to hear that.
So tell me about that process. So you're reading the scriptures, looking for women that you could share with, that might represent a particular mm-hmm. characteristic.
Yeah.
And then are you, you know, making a list, and then are you going back and writing stories? Are you finding one and writing the story up then? Or how are you and Aubrey dividing them up? Kind of give us behind the scenes kind of look.
Wow. I mean, that part was like 4 years ago. So it's like hard to remember exactly what we did, but we have a business background. And so I feel like we went through it very logically and structurally. We did keep a Google spreadsheet, and anytime we came across a woman, we would just write her name down and write the references down. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how we slowly whittled to the stories that had the most juice, if that makes sense. Like, yep. there are like hundreds of women, but unfortunately, some of them are just briefly mentioned or just like don't have a super strong part. I will say there are some women in our book where we had to make the story what it was. Like, there was not an obvious, like, engaging story there, and we had to kind of play it up. And I'll mm-hmm. give you an example. There's a story about the little maid, and then we also have a story about Rhoda. And the reason why we chose to include these women is because they're actually young girls. And we really wanted that in the book because we know that our audience is mostly young girls and young women. And so we wanted to make sure that we had some women in there that they could relate to. And like, they're like, our readers aren't queens, and they're not like, right? Like, some of these mm-hmm. girls, I'm sure, like, come to read our book not thinking that they can be as impactful as these Bible women. But then we wanted to include some of those stories, like the little maid and like Rhoda, where you kind of recognize that they have a small part in this whole Bible story, but that it can still be important.
Ah, that's wonderful. That's really powerful, because you're right. There's going to be some young women. I don't know. There's probably a lot of young women. That age is really hard, where they just feel very insignificant. They don't know their place in the world. They are, you know, all of those kind of emotions and things. And to see that small actions can make big differences in the grand scheme of thing, or even just in the small world in which they live, you can make a difference where you stand, right? And I think that including that is a wonderful example for those young women.
Yeah.
I love that. So when you say that it's taken you 4 years or nearly 4 years to get this, was the writing part of it actually pretty fast? Was that, was the marketing and the illustrations, was that what took more time, or did it take you quite a while to write those stories out?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it took us a while to write the stories. The researching took a while, the first drafts took a while, and then I'm pretty sure we did 4 or 5 passes at each story. So we edited a lot. Mm-hmm. And we got the stories down to, I think it's 300 words or less. So that was really hard for some of these women.
Yeah, I was impressed by that, because I'm like, wow, you fit this whole story on one page. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, like, that took quite a while. I think what took also a long time was we submitted our book to publishers, and we had to wait to hear back. And if you know anything about the publishing industry, it's that it takes forever.
Well, so there, I know nothing, so
it's just a lot of waiting. Like, you can submit your manuscript and they'll say, okay, like, wait, like, it'll be about 6 months until you'll hear back. And so it's so there was a lot of waiting. And then we heard back from some publishers. They turned us down. So all of them turned us down. There was one that wanted to change our book into something that we didn't like. They wanted it to become more of like a coloring book. And we're like, no, we want it to be a storybook. Like, this is what we feel like we need to do. And then there was another publisher who just thought that we elaborated too much, which we were surprised about because we felt like we didn't really elaborate.
Yeah, like I said, you got down to one page.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, for whatever reason, we got turned down. And then I had a baby, and so we kind of put the project on hold for a few months. Mm-hmm. And then just like one day in the summer last year, 2020, I kind of just freaked out a little bit. And I was like, Aubrey, like, we have to self-publish. Like, I don't want to wait anymore. Like, let's just get going. And the self-publishing journey is so much work. Like, I have so much respect for self-published authors, because you have to learn a lot. You have to learn about marketing and printing and getting an illustrator, and just like, you wear so many hats. And so we got 8 phenomenal illustrators who I think made the book just what it is. Like, it would not be nearly as beautiful. Yeah, without this beautiful variety of illustrations, because each illustrator brought their own unique style. And so we got them on board and we started working on a Kickstarter. And we, if you don't know what a Kickstarter is, it's sort of like a crowdfunding platform that helps businesses like get their business off the ground, and it also, like, self-published authors use it a lot too. So
that's where I found you guys last year about this time, because you were doing a Kickstarter, and your description of your book I just fell in love with. I thought, this is exactly my cup of tea. I love the idea that you're talking about divinity, you're talking about women, you're talking about how does this apply to you, you know, you're personalizing it. You even have a place at the very end of the book where they can make their own story. They can put a picture of themselves and then write their own story, which is so cool, I think.
Thank you. Yeah, that's just another way for them to personalize. But yeah, I'm so thrilled that you found us on the Kickstarter. And you know what? Like, your reaction is, it, like, that's how a lot of people reacted. And it blew us away, because before we launched the Kickstarter, we had no idea if anybody else would want this book. Like, we had talked about, like, okay, if we don't get funded, because it's sort of an all or nothing on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, if we don't get funded, like, we're just going to print a few copies for our own girls and call it like a really expensive passion project.
Chalk that up to experience, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because we knew that we wanted it. And so we were willing to do it just for our own girls. But it was just incredible seeing how many people loved the idea, wanted to support it and get, like, buy their own book. And it just kind of was, made us start to realize, oh my goodness, like, this is wanted. Like, there are a lot of people out there who really want the stories of Bible women. So we ended up getting funded in less than 2 days.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, which blew us out of the water. Or just really surprised us. And, at that point, one of the publishers came back and said, wow, like, we actually would love to publish this. So that's how we,
after you got to all the work of trying to figure it out. Exactly. They come back. Were you grateful at that point, or was it too late?
No, we were so grateful because really, and Aubrey and I talked about this a lot. Like we definitely discussed, do we still want to self-publish or should we go with this publisher? And it's Cedar Fort Publishing, by the way. And we had to do it because our goal was to get this book in the hands of as many girls as possible. And mm-hmm. we knew that we couldn't do that without a publisher. Mm-hmm. And so we're in, let's do it. And let's spread this book around.
That is so awesome. Okay. So where did it go from there? Now you've got a publisher, you've got them helping you market it, I assume, and get it out there.
Yeah. So, it's been really fun seeing our book. Someone shared a video of it in Siegel Book, which is fun. Mm. That was really cool to see. And then, we heard that it's hitting Deseret Book in October. So that will be really cool to see my own book on a shelf somewhere.
That will be so fun.
Yeah. But it's just been really, really incredible. Seeing the responses from people. We've had some really, really wonderful people reach out and just share how much this book has meant to them. We've had multiple people, like, literally in tears opening their package. And obviously, it's just so humbling being a part of a project like that that is impacting people in such a positive way.
Oh, that is just so exciting. So tell us a little bit what, you know, we understand that it hasn't been out there very long. Those of us who helped support your Kickstarter, we got like the first round or whatever. Right. The rest of them is kind of coming out. You said some have come out a week ago and then you're going to have more coming out. But what can you give us examples of what people are saying? I mean, how is this making a difference in people's lives, this book?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, my cute cousin, she posted about her copy on Instagram, and what really meant a lot to her, she was saying how growing up she hardly heard anything about women in the Bible, and so reading their stories has been incredible for her, and she just emphasized that visibility matters. So there's these, you know, this group of people who have our book that just like, they just like love that the women are getting voices.
Yes.
Yeah. And then our cute friend, shared with Aubrey and I that she just started crying when she opened the box and that she could just feel the love and the spirit of everything that went in to make it happen. And yeah, we've had multiple people say, oh, I like teared up and I was just hit by the spirit and I'm like so excited to dive in. I think my favorite experience so far has been with a sweet lady in my ward. Well, I'll share two more.
Good.
One is this sweet lady in my ward, and she ordered our book on Amazon and then asked me to come over and sign it, which was so cute. Oh. But she was buying it for her granddaughter, her birthday. She was just turning 14. And she and I had this really sweet, tender conversation about how scary it is being a youth in the world today. Mm. And she got really emotional talking about how much this book means to her. And she thinks that it will mean to her granddaughter to have these valiant, inspiring women as role models when there's just a lot of, like, a lot going on for the youth. And so it was really sweet
being a part of
that gift. Yeah. And then I also got this cute text from my grandma who shared like a little note that she got from a friend. So my grandma's adorable and gave out like 30 copies of our book to her friends and family. And so she gave it to it. Like, we wrote this book for girls mainly. Mm-hmm. Like our target audience is about like 8 to 14. Like that's mm-hmm. kind of the sweet spot. But we've had a huge range of ages enjoying it. Like my grandma's cute friend who said, I'll read this so I get it right. She said, "I'm rationing myself to a story a day plus reading the Bible references. It's been so inspiring. It's hard not to just read to the end. I love the way the authors and illustrators are featured at the end as valiant, gifted women from our own times. And I'm hoping to send a copy to each of my granddaughters for Christmas, featuring them in the space provided in the book." So just like so sweet how this like little old lady is also using this children's book to learn and study is really, really neat to me.
Well, it is beautiful and so well done. And I just am imagining this is the beginning of many wonderful things to come. I know it's on Amazon, but do you have any other Christian groups that are sharing this book yet? Or is it mostly just in your LDS bookstores as well as Amazon? Or
wow. So we've seen it online at a few retailers. We've seen it on Walmart.com and Target.com. I don't know of it being sold in any like Christian groups. But I will share, we haven't really told anyone this yet, but we are going to be in a bunch of Costcos in the West. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, that should be happening in mid-October. So we're
it's such a great Christmas gift. I mean, seriously, yeah. It's the perfect timing to come out and in preparation for Christmas, because I can see, just like you're talking about, I can see mothers or grandmothers buying this for their children or grandchildren. It's just this kind of a special memento kind of book. It's not your traditional fairy tale book, but it is such a sweet kind of keepsake that a loving grandmother or loving mother would want to share with their children. So I really see that could just go crazy.
Thank
but
you.
But tell Thank me how, you. Just because I don't know, how does, so when a publisher takes over, I mean, you're finding, it sounds like you're just accidentally finding out that these are popping up. Do they not tell you where they're sending them or where they're, I mean, how does that work, I guess?
So yeah, they told us about the Costco news, but yeah, they honestly don't really know everywhere that it's popping up, because there's something called Ingram Spark, which is this sort of like online huge bookstore, if you will, where it's like a wholesaler where like real bookstores buy books from them. And so, yeah, Cedar Fort doesn't always know who's buying the books and where they're going to pop up. So if you do see our books somewhere, it would be super fun if you, like, took a picture or something and told us. Yeah, we would love to see that.
That is so fun. Yeah. So is there a certain number that are already been printed, or like if they run out, will they print some more, or how does that work?
I don't know. That is a really good question. I'm assuming that they did some initial order. I do know that so far we've had over 1,000 books sent to people, which is just
like sold to individuals, not to stores. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I believe it's to individuals. So
that is so awesome.
You know, and some people got 5 books, and that, like, I think this number includes the Kickstarter people, but it's just crazy to me to think that it's in so many people's hands. And obviously, like, super humbling too to know that and know how many people are supporting and loving our book.
Well, it is very well done. Okay, I have a couple more questions for you now. I want to know who your favorite woman in the book is and why, because there's 34 of them and they are all really good. I don't know that I could choose just one, but you might have a favorite or two if you have to choose two.
Wow, yeah, that is super hard. And Aubrey was actually saying the other day, she's like, oh, I cannot pick a favorite because really it's just like whatever I need at the time, like I connect better with one woman or another woman, right? And I like totally relate to that. Like someday, in fact, the other, a couple months ago, I was going through just a really hard time, like physically and emotionally, just having some pretty hard trials that I was working through. And I was sitting in sacrament meeting, just weighed down and kind of mourning the fact that I couldn't be myself through this really hard time. Like I'm kind of a like go-getter, like active, like always doing things kind of person. And I was kind of mourning that I was just felt like I needed to sit and like take care of myself. And but it was hard to like not feel like I was contributing and like doing good, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I was sitting there in sacrament meeting thinking about this, and then all of a sudden, Mary of Bethany popped into my mind. And she was a woman, so we characterized her characteristic that we gave her was humble. And it's because she was often found just sitting at the feet of Christ. She was there learning from him when he was in her home. She, after her brother Lazarus died, she came and wept at Jesus's feet, and Jesus wept with her. And then the last week of Jesus's life, she's there washing his feet with her hair. And so it just struck me, you know what? Like sometimes it's okay just to sit at the feet of Christ and lean on him. And so that was obviously a moment where I really appreciated this story of Mary of Bethany, and it really helped me during that hard time. But I will say, one of my very favorite women is the Shunammite woman who I had met, like, at least I don't ever remember learning about her, which surprises me because her story is so cool. We gave her the characteristic of problem solving.
And I just read this one today. It was really good. Uh-huh. Keep going. Yes. Sorry.
Yes. No, like, and you can jump in and tell what stuck out to you, but I just love that time and time again, she had these problems that she noticed in her life for other people or herself. And she just jumped in and solved problems. So I'll just tell a quick summary. The first was that she noticed the prophet Elijah was walking past her home every day. So he was working throughout the city and just would constantly, you know, be passing by. And she was like, you know what? I bet Elisha's tired and would appreciate having a place to like come in and rest. And so she like made a bedroom for him, which is just so sweet of her. And so the next time he walked by, she invited him in to rest. And that's just like such a sweet, like, ministering moment where she just solves a problem for Elisha. And then, so she didn't have any children, and Elisha was very touched by her kind gesture. And so he first of all asked her what she wanted in return for her kindness, and she said nothing, but he learned that she didn't have a child. And so he actually blessed her with a son. And years later, her son was working out in the field and got injured, and her son actually died in her arms, which obviously would be so heartbreaking. But she didn't just sit there. She jumped up and rode off to go find Elisha. And she got the prophet and brought him back and like was like, "Can you please bring my son back to life?" And the prophet did that. And so I was just like, whoa, like this woman had so much faith and was like, you know what? Like, I know that my son can like live again. Anyway, and then there's just like another example where she like rescues her family from a famine. And then when they come back from the famine, her property's gone. And so she goes and like petitions before the king and he gives her property back. And I just like, I'm like, oh my gosh, this woman is so amazing. And I'm just like in awe of her story and her ability to like face these problems with like love and faith and just like an attitude that, you know what, I can solve problems in my life. So She's one of my favorites.
I love that. Yeah, I read that story today and I thought, that is such a great characteristic. And I'm sure I wouldn't have thought of that on my own. I wouldn't have put two and two together. But I'm sure you're looking for that and you're looking for some characteristic to give her. And that was what you came. But when, you know, if you're just reading this story in the scriptures or whatever, I don't know that I would have recognized that until you put it in your story form and pointed that out. And what a great characteristic, that idea of problem solving. I mean, there's so many people in the world today who want to blame somebody else for their problems or who don't take responsibility for their own actions. And what an important thing for our young women to learn that we can be problem solvers and we can make things happen. And with a little bit of faith and a lot of work, there's so much that we can do.
Yes.
That's so beautiful.
I love that.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, clearly there's many characteristics that could have gone with a bunch of these women. There's so many of them that are just so faithful, but we wanted to pick a variety of characteristics. And so we only picked one as faithful, right? But like, obviously they're more, yeah, complicated than just one characteristic. But yeah, it was fun, like going through and kind of just seeing what popped out to us, if there was like a reoccurring theme with these women. For example, I was surprised with myself for characterizing Mary, the mother of Jesus, as receptive. Like, I never thought of that before. But in just reading her, like, all the verses about her in the Bible, I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, multiple times it says the words that she, like, that she kept those things and pondered them in her heart. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it said that, like, multiple times where Jesus would say something or the shepherds were saying something in awe and she would just keep these words and ponder them in her heart. And so I was like, wow, she is obviously like a receptive person to not only like receive the angel and be willing to do anything that God wanted her to do, but then to like throughout like the other stories, just like, it's almost like she's just watching and taking it all in and trying to be sensitive to the spirit and, like, pondering. Mm. And anyway, so yeah.
And then coming to her own conclusions and...
Yeah. And just, like, just being receptive.
I love that because, and I'm glad that you shared that with me because that was actually one of the things as I was looking through your book. I'm like, how did they come up with so many different characteristics? This is so awesome that you could, I mean, because like you say, you, at least I would have a tendency, oh, this one's faithful, this one's faithful, this one's faithful. Yeah. This one's kind.
Yeah.
Or brave, or, you know, there's a few. Four or five that I could probably think of, but you came up with 34 different characteristics and found, you know, a person to represent that. And we're all, multifaceted. It's not like we're only faithful or we're only, brave or whatever. Of course, we're a lot of those things at different times in our lives or or the same time during our life.
Right.
But you two have done a great job at just kind of breaking that up for us and helping us focus on, you know, from my point of view, we talk a lot about focusing on one principle at a time and digging deep into that principle to really understand it. And I think that that's what you've done with your book. You know, let's just look at what it means to be faithful. And here's an example of what it means to be faithful. And, you know, getting deep into that, because you could look at it a lot of different ways, but right now we just want to look about faithful. We'll talk about being brave on the next page. I love that. I just think that, you know, Heavenly Father teaches us line upon line, precept upon precept. And I feel like that's what you guys have kind of done with this book, is just break it down line upon line, precept upon precept, so that even us old ladies can look through that and be taught something new. So
yeah, no, I love that. And yeah, you guys do such an amazing job at advocating for children and how we can teach them. And I think you're right that line upon line is important. And we were intentional about trying to write a book that would appeal to a wide age of people or levels of I don't know, people. Because, you know, my daughter's three, and so, like, the prompts that we have at the end of the stories, like are quite honestly right now, like, still a little advanced for her age. Like, she's just enjoying the stories. And I think it's important that she hears these stories and becomes familiar with the characters. And so at this point, like, I am very happy that that's where she's at. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as she gets older and is able to make connections between the story and her own life, then these prompts will be helpful. And then, like, the sweet grandma who is using our book is digging into the references that we have. So it's just...
So many levels.
And, like, I think that's how the gospel is. That's how we work as learners in the gospel, line upon line. And so, yeah, I'm grateful that you and Lindsay make that a focus.
Well, you guys have done a wonderful job, and your illustrators too. I was just thinking when you're talking about your 3-year-old, I'm like, she would just love looking at the pictures. They're such beautiful pictures that I'm sure that, you know, that's engaging and fun too for her, just to be able to hear the story and look at the pictures and, you know, get that input. Well, Amber, definitely. What is, first of all, anything else that you want to share with the book? Because I have one more question that kind of doesn't have to do with the book.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering what's on your docket next. This is just so merry. Do you have anything in the works or a dream in the pipe or anything?
We do have We do have something in the works next, and I'll go ahead and share, like, well, we have many ideas. Let me say that. There's too many ideas for how much time we have.
Yes.
But yeah, so this is a book about Bible women, and we really would love to do another book about the rest of the scriptures. So the women in the Book of Mormon, in the Doctrine and Covenants, and in the Pearl of Great Price. Because there are a lot fewer women in those scriptures, but there's some amazing ones. And so we want to make sure that they get some representation. So that is definitely coming.
I love it.
Not sure when, but working on it.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, and then we've thrown around some other ideas. I'm actually really torn right now about doing a book for sons. Because I'm getting mixed feedback from people. So we'll see if
some people thinking there's enough of that out there already, or
yeah, there's some people wanting like this book basically how it is, just written for sons instead of daughters, which we cannot do. Our publisher said that we cannot reuse the stories.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so then we have other people that are like, yeah, we want a book with men. So we're trying to decide where to put our time and kind of refocus on like what our goal is and where we should be spending our time and efforts.
Well, I don't want to get too far down the line because really this book just came out, but, yeah. Exactly. But I know that people are going to be wanting more. So just curious. Well, Amber, tell us really quickly then, if somebody is interested in purchasing this book for their kids or grandkids or whomever, where can they go to get it?
That is a great question. So I think for a lot of people, the easiest way is Amazon. Mm-hmm. If you just search for Dear Divine Daughter, the full title is Dear Divine Daughter, Inspiring Stories of Bible Women. I don't know if we ever said that during this podcast.
I don't believe I did.
So yeah, if you search for Dear Divine Daughter, then you'll find it. But yeah, if you want to go on Cedar Fort's website, it's cedarfort.com. And like I said, like we found it like online at a lot of retailers. So wherever is most comfortable for you, just type in Dear Divine Daughter and hopefully it pops up. If not, try another one. But yeah, and then starting in October, I think it'll be in Deseret Book. So if you want
to get one, right?
In store. Yeah, in mid-October it should be in Costco. So,
okay, so if you see it in the stores, take a picture, send it to either Amber or myself. You can send it to myteachingmatters@gmail.com, and we'll forward it on to Amber because it would be fun to see where you find it.
Yes, and we love when people connect with us on Instagram. That's where we are the most. So yeah, our handle is Dear Divine Daughter. So please connect with us and share with us any of your experiences or where you're seeing the book. We would love it.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Okay, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. It's been fun to have an update, Amber. Congratulations on the two of you on this beautiful book. I love seeing the wonderful talents that LDS women are sharing with each other. It just inspires me. There really is this army of amazing, talented women that the Lord is using to help spread his work, and you are part of that. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Remember, your teaching matters. We'll see you next week.